Hey guys, in the Baron of Botox, there's an ad read for a podcast called Manslaughter. We refer to that in this episode. Just wanted to let you guys know that when I listen back to the Baron of Botox, it seems like they've taken out this ad read. We do criticize it in this podcast, which I think is still warranted, but it's obviously something that the producers and the reporters and journalists in this podcast, Baron of Botox, have been thinking about. Just wanted to let you guys know that. Okay, enjoy the show. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's definitely my microphone now.
Yes!
Yes!
You can't judge a good book by its cover. You can't tell, dear, if it's good or bad. The cover may be in the brightest color, but inside,
hey everyone, we're Pause Play Repeats, a podcast about podcasts. I'm Saga.
And I'm Anya.
Today we're discussing The Baron of Botox. Just a heads up, this is a podcast that talks about suicide and depression. So these are things that we will be discussing when we discuss this podcast. Mainly how they depict it in the podcast. We won't go into so much detail, but just a heads up. So The Baron of Botox is produced by Imperative Entertainment. So basically, this is a podcast about Dr. Frederick Brunt, who was a doctor who pioneered Botox, basically. And he had some very famous clients, including Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow. And this podcast is basically about, you know, who he was and Botox in general, you know, how it became popular and sort of about the beauty industry. And also because Frederick Brunt eventually took his own life, it looks a little into those issues as well. And it's reported by Justine Harmon, who is a journalist who has her own podcast production company called 39 Stories. And she also used to be the features director at Glamour. And she's just written for a lot of different beauty magazines. So let's get straight into it. I have had a lot of difficulty trying to figure out how to summarize this podcast and what it's about. But I think maybe we can discuss that a little bit with the first question. So, Anya, what did you think about the way this story was told, the Dr. Brunt story, and how the podcast was structured?
So I think, like you said, obviously the podcast is about a man, about quite a troubled man and his life and how he ended his life. And that seems to be the premise that the podcast is advertising itself as. But obviously, when you're talking about somebody famous or talking about, you know, how somebody took their own life, and they also work in the beauty business, the big themes that come up are suicide and body image, which are both topics that are so difficult to address. And I think this podcast, I think there is suicide ideation, even though there is a warning at the start of each episode. There is no real discussion about suicide until the very end. The whole structure seems totally flat. Like, they went from talking to Dr. Brandt as a person, which I think, you know, as a person who has had so much influence in the world and who has also had so much, you know, he's made so many medical breakthroughs. It felt like they should have gone more into his life. It felt like they left clues about his life. Here's a little bit about his debt. Here's a little bit about his love life. But they didn't go into enough detail to connect the dots. And so they just had episodes and episodes that seemed to have nothing to do with Brandt as well, that explored the issues at the end. And they felt a little bit like an afterthought. And so I just think it was a 10-part series that could have easily been like a 2-part series with more kind of facts about his life and discussion woven together. Because if you didn't get to the discussion at the end, you also kind of missed the analysis of it. The journalist that has been covering beauty industry for a long time, but it just felt flat is how I would describe it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it didn't feel flat because I was so aggravated at so many different points. If it had at least been flatter, I would have been happy. I mean, if my emotion had been flatter listening to this, I would have been happier. But
it was the whole time. I feel like it was like flat emotion, aggravation the whole way through.
No, it's true. And I think I think it was about episode 2, and I wrote in my notes, what is this podcast actually about? Like, it was sort of going in, first episode, they set up all these questions, and you think you kind of know what it's about. And then they start, and then you realize, wait, I don't even really know what question it is they're going into. Is this about why he killed himself? Is this about why the beauty industry in general? Is this about the sort of, you know, the debt and his relationship to other people and his business? Or like, what is this? It frames itself kind of like a typical mystery podcast, but then you realize, wait, what is the sort of mystery trying to be solved?
Yeah.
I read one review online which said, the review is, what about Stefan, his CEO and possible love interest? What happened to Maggie, his assistant? Who benefited from his estate, which included his massive art collection? What about the mounting debt alluded to in the first few episodes? And like, yeah, like they set it up to be about all these really interesting things and never go into any of them at all. And that was just very frustrating. So yeah, I mean, it felt a little like listing facts and then a little kind of discussion that never really went past the surface.
Yeah.
But I think we can get into, so if we think of the beauty industry and how that was depicted, what did you think about that? Did you think that they were able to accurately depict the beauty industry? Because at the end of the day, that's kind of what this podcast is about.
I think my last point about structure is really, it is such a serious topic. Like, I wish I could sit down and listen to it and really get to know what's going on. How can I reach out to people if something's going on? So I think talking about the beauty industry, I just don't think it went into enough detail. Like, it felt a little bit like the whole world was built around white beauty standards, and it didn't really make me rethink the beauty world. If anything, it reinforced some of the stereotypes that we already have about the beauty world. So it didn't feel like I should be looking at myself more critically and thinking, oh my God, is it okay that maybe one day I will want Botox, and like, how can I kind of fight that? There was an episode at the very end, the person who they were interviewing was saying that we should be looking at the oppression of the beauty industry and like the oppression of Botox, because having for a woman to have a face that doesn't move is considered a good thing, because then an emotional face, you know, people don't want to see women with emotion. It makes them uncomfortable. Women shouldn't have any emotion at all. And that was only mentioned in episode 10, I think, like literally the last episode.
You know, if this was sort of framed as, oh, a podcast teaching you the history of Botox, or, oh, a podcast that if for people interested in cosmetic surgery, I wouldn't have listened to this. And then maybe it would have been okay if they just, as you were saying, reinforced norms we already have. Because then it would have just been about, how is the beauty industry today? Let's just talk about it. But this podcast sort of pretended to be about the dark side of the beauty industry and the people who are part of that. You know, and how it can be, you know, really harmful to someone like Dr. Brandt in terms of like how insecurities can drive you crazy. So to sort of interest someone like you and me by sort of saying it's going to be about kind of the beauty industry and, you know, the darker side of the beauty industry, or how the beauty industry really works, and then just never go into any detail about the actual true dark side of the beauty industry. I mean, okay, so I don't want to be one of those people who acts like everyone who gets cosmetic surgery is like oppressed and is like this horrible victim. Like, no, like you can be an empowered woman who wants Botox. That, you know, that is fine to me. The thing is, this podcast is about insecurities. It is about people who feel bad about the way they look. They have multiple interviews with people who say that aging sucks. I want to turn back the clocks of time. I don't want to get older. Like, I hate the way that looks. Like, this is a podcast that's about the insecurities of aging, but never really goes into why are these people insecure about aging?
Yeah.
Like, that no one is born into this world hating what old people look like. Like, that's not a thing. There are structural societal issues that make us feel that way, you know? And they interview a plastic surgeon who says, getting old sucks. There's nothing good about getting old. We know Justine Harmon as a journalist is smart. We know she probably doesn't agree with these things. But if you're not challenging any of these ideas, or at least explaining why these ideas exist, you're basically just giving them a platform. If you're saying those things without talking about the multi-billion dollar beauty industrial complex, media, the beauty media that frames things in a certain way and reinforces certain norms, people make money off of you feeling like trash. Like,
yeah.
That is the crux of it. I'm sorry. Like, that's how our capitalistic system works. You feel like absolute ass, someone is making a dollar. The fact that people are profiting, like, that they want this insecurities to be perpetuated because they're making money off of it. And to be honest, like in this day and age, a podcast about the beauty industry, if it's not about beauty and racism, if it's not about beauty and homophobia, if it's not about beauty and fat phobia, if it's not about beauty and feminism, I don't really want to listen to it. Because if you're not going into any of these issues, you're not really doing anything but reinforcing norms we already know about. I know that people hate aging, you know, I know that that's a thing, especially in Hollywood. You know, I want to hear a podcast like you were saying with this. Her name's Jane Marie. She has a podcast where she really deep dives into the beauty industry. And she's interviewed by Justine Harmon in like the last episode. But yeah, that comes way too late.
There was, I think it was an editor who said, oh, I was doing all of these before and after photos in magazines to say, oh, this is what bodies looked like before and this is what they look like after surgery. And then people were writing into me saying, oh my God, I'm so glad that I saw the before. Maybe I don't need to get my breast augmented, or maybe I don't need like Botox or whatever. Actually, this is promotion of surgery, which is intense. Like surgery of any kind on your body is intense. Like you said, like they're just profiting off other people's insecurities. And yeah, maybe one person out of 15 will think, oh yeah, my butt looks pretty good. But most people would be like, holy shit, my butt could look a lot better. You know, and you're constantly being shoved in your face that, oh, you could look like this, you could be like that. Then of course you're going to feel shit about yourself. It just felt so dated.
No, it really did. But then I guess, okay, we can go into the next thing then, which... I mean, my question is sort of, what did you think about the kind of the personal aspect? I mean, I think it's episode 4 where we basically follow her getting Botox and talking to the doctor who's giving her the Botox. And she sort of,
So I just, you and I have kind of worked in lifestyle industry before, you know, and when you are in that industry, when you're a young person in that industry, it's framed to you as like, you can get all of these things for free. And this podcast felt a little bit like she could get all of these treatments for free. Was she very vulnerable when she was getting Botox? Yes, it was interesting because I've never like heard of anybody getting Botox before. I've never seen it. But also the thing that she didn't talk about, the thing that they didn't really discuss, and the thing that was very interesting was how the doctors kept telling her how she needs more and more and more and more. She never asked the difficult questions from the doctors. I have no problem with somebody wanting to do Botox if they really want to do Botox. Whatever you want to do with your body, that is completely your choice. Yeah. So I don't know. I just felt like the whole thing, we just heard repeats of everything that we already know.
Exactly. I 100% agree. That's a really good point. No, and I agree. There is something, some part where she's talking about wanting to be her optimal self and feeling a pressure to always be the optimal self. And I related to that a lot. And yeah, 100%. If she had had more of that, it would have actually been more relatable. But what did you think of the other people she managed to interview, or, you know, the people she found to talk in this podcast?
People that I did look up, all of them were white. Like the big interviews were famous people in the beauty industry were like the former Allure editor-in-chief, Linda Wells, white, the View co-host, she's white, and the CEO of Dr. Brand Skincare, and, you know, and co-executor of his estate, Stephen Kalu, also white. And just everything just felt a little bit like we were all talking about this very specific group of people, and they were all perpetuating the same stereotype of what it means to be beautiful and what it means to be white in Hollywood. And the people that, the interesting people that she did have talking about suicide and talking about the means of oppression of the beauty industry, where she was actually talking to people and they were kind of pointing out saying, no, actually, maybe you should think about it this way, or maybe you should do this. We're at the very end. And that's a real shame, like a real, real shame, because you should have had that interwoven all the way throughout the episodes. And I wish I had, there were more doctors also talking about things, professionals that are not part of the beauty industry, but were just medical professionals talking about it. And also people talking about how aging is totally fine. And it is a normal process of being human. Process. Yeah. And like aging, there is like, because like, that's the thing that nobody talked about in this podcast, is that aging is a privilege. To grow old, to be able to lead a healthy life, to be able to be part with your family and have friends, see the world, whatever you're doing, getting older is a privilege. Yes. Not everybody gets to do that. And we need to acknowledge it as such, and we need to be like, that's a fucking great thing.
Yeah.
And I just think that was really, really missed in this podcast. Yeah, and like, 100%. Nobody talked about it.
No, exactly. I 100% agree. And yeah, and I mean, you totally hit it. Like, I think that's 100% true. I think also in terms of the interviews, I also kind of wonder if maybe they had intentions for this podcast, and then because the interviews fell through, they weren't actually able to talk about the things they wanted to talk about. And the only people who wanted to talk to them were people who wanted to sort of push their Botox clinic. Had a bit of that feeling. Let's talk about episode 9. This is the episode where they bring in a media ethicist who specializes in the depiction of suicide in media. And it becomes clear that the way that suicide was depicted in the first episode was criticized by people who had listened and then taken out of episode 1. And they discuss with this media ethicist a little about the depiction of suicide in media, but then also the sensationalization of tragedy in podcasts as well. So I think that's really interesting because that's, you know, a big topic in the podcasting world. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that and what you thought, if the podcast handled these issues well and if they sort of solved the problem well by taking it out and then discussing it in episode 9.
Yeah, well, I have to admit, I think it would have been quite simple to say in this bit of the episode 2, if we want to listen more about the issues of discussing suicide in a podcast, like, go listen to episode 9, because I just don't think it was fair to put it at the very end, because it is such a difficult topic and it's such an important topic to talk about.
No, definitely. And I think something that they talk about is the sensationalized tragedy in podcasts. And ironically, they go from talking about sensationalized tragedy to a ad read for a podcast called Manslaughter.
Oh my God, no. Like, there is a way to do ads in a podcast, right? You kind of do a pause, like, you're speaking, there is a pause, maybe some music starts. Yeah, and then you kind of, and then like most podcast hosts kind of like make fun of it a little bit, like, we're going to do the fucking ads now, you know, you kind of expect that there is going to be something that is going to be sold to you now. This podcast, seamlessly, here is the end of the sentence, here's the beginning of a new sentence, we're now in an ad. When it was happening in the episode 9, like you said, it's just and here we're talking about suicide, and now let's talk about Manslaughter podcast.
Manslaughter. Okay, great.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, let's do our boom ranking then. Anya, how many booms out of 5 booms do you give this podcast?
I honestly give it a boo.
1 boom.
It goes boom.
shit. But yeah, no, you're right. It's not.
I think it will.
You've compromised to fit my ranking before. This week, I will compromise to fit yours. Let's give it
a buh.
A buh. Okay, it's a buh. Buh. Let's go into more positive territory then. Anya,
yes.
Do you have a favorite episode, podcast episode from this week?
So I was thinking about this. I have to admit, this week has been kind of bad listening week for me. So the thing that I actually wanted to recommend is this episode from Audible, which I think is, you know, like, if you do have Audible, they do have some great podcasts. I do like them. And this is not paid for. Nobody pays us to do anything. Ziggy and I just live off air.
Yeah.
So the podcast I wanted to recommend is Soldiers of Science by Alan Alda. And it's about the Vietnam War and kind of the way that there was a new generation of doctors that the Vietnam War kind of created, because they were all sent to this National Institute of Health instead of being drafted into the war. And Dr. Fauci was actually one of those doctors, and they created some really incredible treatments during that time. And it was like a boom in medicine, but it also talks a lot about the draft, kind of Vietnam War and what happened, and, you know, how they felt, obviously they were saving the nation, but also they felt a lot of guilt because they were not actually out there fighting. And many people became doctors to avoid fighting. So it's an interesting episode, like an interesting podcast. I don't think it's very long. Yeah, but it is about science. So yeah.
That sounds really interesting. I'll definitely check that out. My one for this week is New York Times doesn't need my plug, but Still Processing is a podcast produced by New York Times with culture writers Wesley Morris and Jenna Wortham. They are like it's impossible to listen to them without creating a sort of parasocial relationship with them. I mean, they are amazing in so many ways. And I have the hugest crush on Wesley, but that's a different discussion. And all of their episodes, I mean, it's just like, I was thinking about this, like their episodes, the closest thing I can think of what they are is like academic papers made fun, you know, like the depth they go into and the connections they make between different cultural phenomenons, different movies, shows, whatever, songs, cultural figures. It's also interesting. It's not just a boring academic paper or whatever. I mean, they had one episode on J-Lo, which was so good. Like, it just, the way they analyzed J-Lo was just, you never think you'd need a sort of hour-long episode on J-Lo, but the way they go through her career and how she sort of was a emblematic of the time she was in, and nothing, like everything that is cultural, a cultural phenomenon, is interesting. And that I really appreciate. And they have an episode on the N-word, which of course is a bit of a different direction, but it's a super interesting conversation that Jenna Wortham and Wesley Morris have on the N-word. And I really learned a lot. So I would recommend that episode, but then also everything they do, and keep listening for the future. Alrighty, well, that's it for us this week. Next week, we will have another interesting podcast about interesting things, hopefully a little more positive.
Oh, and rate and review, subscribe, whatever.
And find us on social media. Do it.
Do it.
And yeah, that's it for us this week. I'm Saga.
Is that how you do it? Anya? Yeah. Let's do it like this.
Say our names at the end again?
Yeah! Hello, bye! We're starting a new episode.
Welcome to our endless loop.